counting today, we are 14 days away, counting today, actually, we're 16 days away from National Signing Day. 2 weeks, 2 days away from what could be the biggest day in Ole Miss football recruiting history. And you say, wait a minute now, what about 2013? Yeah, we're taking 2013 in full account here as this 2016 class. If everything breaks towards Ole Miss, could be the biggest signing day in the history of Ole Miss football. Now, there's a lot of ground to chew. Yeah, it's only 2 weeks, 2 days away, but, man, is there a lot of ground between now and National Signing Day. And everyone's hanging on every single tweet, every single move as to how this class will ultimately shape up. And we're going to talk about all of that this morning on this edition of Rebel Rise Live. And as always, we appreciate you for giving us a part of your day as we discuss Ole Miss football recruiting and athletics. So, guys, I guess the biggest story in Mississippi right now in the recruiting realm of things really doesn't involve Ole Miss, not much. And that's what happened yesterday regarding Meridian defensive lineman Raekwon Davis, who, when the sun came up yesterday, was still committed to Alabama, though he was on an official visit to Mississippi State. Then he was committed to Mississippi State as reports started to generate that he had executed the flip from the Crimson Tide to the Bulldogs. Ah, but wait a minute, there's more. Then reports start coming out that Raekwon Davis is telling the Alabama media that he has not flipped from Alabama to Mississippi State. So that gets reported upon. Then reports start coming out, and this is where it gets even stranger, is that perhaps it was one of Raekwon Davis's high school coaches, someone on staff, perhaps at Meridian High School. And I have no independent verification of this. We're just talking about the reports that are floating around out there. But allegedly one of his high school assistant coaches hacked his Twitter account and tweeted out the non-flip from Mississippi State and that Davis was still a member of the Crimson Tide signing class. Now, as Ole Miss fans, I'm going to tell you the best thing to do on this one is to kind of set on the sides, grab your popcorn, and just see how it plays out. But spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you how it's going to play out. Come signing day, Raekwon Davis will sign with Mississippi State. That's how I see it playing out right there. Is Ole Miss a factor? I think he's still talking to the Ole Miss coaches, and they're still talking to him. There seems to be a good chance that Raekwon Davis is a sign-in-place player. We don't know if he is going to qualify to immediately attend a four-year university. So that's in play right there. And when that's in play, you have to question how hard Alabama's going to fight to hold on to him. And I don't think they're going to fight very hard. That's just my gut feeling right there. But a lot of wackiness yesterday. Dave, I mean, your thought on the whole Raekwon Davis situation, and Michael, when Dave gets through, you jump in on this. What are y'all's thoughts?
Well, I find it, you know, it is a, you know, a bizarre situation, so to speak, because, you know, with that report and then, you know, wait a second, no, that's not it. And it's also, if you go back and look at sometime last year, this is a familiar report that has come out with Raekwon Davis, you know, a media report coming in that there was a decommitment with Bama, and then Raekwon Davis reported afterwards, you know, my account got hacked, similar situation, and, you know, said that's not the case. And, David, you made a good point.
And may, just offer a little more clarity on that, Dave, I believe what that situation was a direct message sent to Courtney Cronin from Raekwon Davis's Twitter account telling Courtney that he had decommitted from Alabama And again, as you just mentioned, it was Raekwon said his Twitter was hacked.
Right.
So, you know, that created a firestorm. But nevertheless, I think that's what it was. I don't think he ever publicly tweeted that one. I think he sent a direct message on that, or someone.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that was the report. And you just look at it, and my thoughts are on it too. Like what you said, David, it is a good point. You know, if you're a fan, you know, don't get, you know, into the middle of this. Let this play out, and you know, to this point, right, the only one who's going to be able to make this decision is Davis himself. And it if you've never been in those shoes before, you can't really fully grasp of what a you know, 17, 18 year old kid is going through in this decision. He has a lot of coaches, you know, coming at him with wanting
not just
his commitment.
You're getting
you know, fan bases all sending you through social media. You got the media constantly, you know, talking to you, and it can be, you know, a frustrating time for a 17, 18 year old kid, and you know, it's a tough decision.
Well, Michael, we'll get to you in just one second. But one thing I want to say though is you know, okay, so allegedly there's a coach that's hacking Raekwon Davis's Twitter account. 99.9% of these high school coaches, they just want what's best for the kid, and generally they take a stance of, I'll help guide you through, I'll advise you if you ask, but in the end, ultimately, it's your decision. Most of our coaches, particularly here in Mississippi, are absolutely wonderful guys to deal with throughout the recruiting process. Just want to make that point. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, the good old hack Twitter. I mean, Donald Trump was right. We need to watch out for the Chinese government hacking into the internet. And I knew they were going to start with Meridian High School football players. I knew this was going to happen.
Absolutely.
But
the
old nefarious assistant high school coach, I mean, like both of y'all said, it's really hard on these kids going through the whole process and wanting to make everyone happy, and whether it's making their family happy, whether it's all these fans who are telling them that they love them and want them here and what have you, and the kid has to make a tough choice. So it's really difficult for him, and I have to say it's sort of an easy thing to do if you might make a mistake on social media. I'm not sure if that's what happened, but if you make a mistake on social media as a recruit, just say, yeah, it got hacked. We see that all the time. Who could forget the Stacey Coley fake Twitter account situation where he got fans and some websites into a ruckus seemingly every week by committing to a different school via Twitter, and then it comes out that's not actually a Twitter. Laramie Tunsil had a fake Twitter, I think, that was taken as gospel for a little while. So Twitter certainly turned the recruiting game on its side. But, I'm with you on this, Dave. I think he'll end up as a Bulldog in the end regardless. And whether that's a Bulldog and then going to Colin, or if it's just going straight to be a Bulldog, I know that there's some confidence in Mississippi State that they'll get him in there in August. But there's always those kids that have some work to do in the summer.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think Raekwon Davis, and I've felt this way for the longest of time, particularly once it started kind of circulating that he may be a sign place guy, that he's going to stay in the state of Mississippi with his signature. And why not? He's going to be playing JUCO ball in the state of Mississippi if, in fact, that's how things play out. Not saying he can't get qualified. Maybe he can't, but I believe he'll be at Mississippi State in the end. But what a wild situation yesterday developing with that. As far as Ole Miss goes with Raekwon Davis, as I said earlier, I think you can write that one off just from my opinion. Okay, there's still open lines of communication. They're still recruiting him. Ole Miss would love to sign him and, if necessary, place him. I just don't see that happening. When you get into the state of Mississippi and what's left out there in this 2016 class, and I've said this before and I'm still holding true to this, I only believe Ole Miss signs one more from the state of Mississippi. And I think that one is Jeffrey Simmons. Is it a lock? No, it is not a lock. But for the longest of time now, you know, the vibe has been Ole Miss is out front for Jeffrey Simmons. And if there is another Mississippian that joins this 2016 class, I think it will be Jeffrey Simmons. Will I be just floored if another one joins in? Not floored, but I will be surprised if another Mississippian gets in this class. I think what you're going to see here is, as we just said, Raekwon Davis signs with Mississippi State. I think Kobe Jones will sign with Mississippi State, and I reserve the right to change my mind. I want to say that because things change hour by hour this time of the year when you're dealing with recruiting. A.J. Brown, Alabama, everything seems to be pointing to Alabama, particularly after his weekend visit over there. But you can expect a little bump right there. But I'm telling you, I just have a sneaky suspicion A.J. Brown signs with Mississippi State in the end. Nigel Knott, man, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. That's a manager's choice right there on the cafeteria menu. Nigel has kept everyone guessing for the majority of his entire recruitment, and folks are still guessing right now. Now, the vibe I'm getting is he could very well end up at Mississippi State, but that last weekend, that last visit weekend before signing day, he'll be in Oxford. Could that change things? Perhaps it could. That'll be one of those weekends where, just drink your Red Bull and stay in front of Rebels 247 because things will be popping quite often on the weekend of January 29th. And this upcoming weekend, too, there will be several official visitors in town, and including Royce Newman, the last offensive line target on the Rebels board, a guy that they desperately want. He'll be in town this coming weekend along with a couple other guys taking official visits. So it is that time of the year where everything is, as we said, changing minute by minute. Things can change. Coaches have unlimited contact with these guys running up to a couple of days before National Signing Day. They're taking full advantage of it. They're out doing in-home visits. Coach Hugh Freeze in Allen, Texas yesterday doing an in-home with Greg Little on Saturday. He was over in Alabama seeing Jerry on Street. Friday night at my house seeing Eli. So he's hopping around. There's just no rest for these guys this time of the year. No rest for us either. And we're going to bring it all to you as good as we possibly can. Okay, let's talk about Rashawn Gary. Is Ole Miss still a factor for Rashawn Gary? I think the answer is yes. He took an official visit to USC over the weekend. And, guys, I've talked to a couple people out on the West Coast, and right now I don't think anything has really changed with Rashawn Gary regarding that visit. I'll pass it over to you, Michael. What do you think? I don't think USC got in the game for Rashawn Gary over the weekend. I think it was probably a nice trip out to the West Coast, but I think it's still Ole Miss and Michigan right now. What say you? Michael, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you now.
I agree with you on that one. You hear with pretty much every recruit ever that relationships went out, and that's true with Gary. I mean, you hear Jennifer Coney talk about the good relationship she has with Kiffin and Freeze and along that line. And so it doesn't seem like a school emerging late in the game like this is really possible in his recruitment. And he has the official visit that he took to USC and then one lined up to Clemson. I can't blame him for going to the team that was number one in the country for months and months and has Dabo, who has dance parties, pizza parties. And you got to be cool if you have Dab right there in your name. And then going out to the West Coast, get some surfing in, maybe see Scarlett Johansson, have a good time out there. So, I mean, if I were a five-star player and I just missed it, all I needed was a couple more inches, a faster 40 time, some more strength, and some more athleticism, and I was right there being in the five-star category. I would definitely go out to USC if I were him. So I think it's still a Michigan, Michigan and Ole Miss battle that we're seeing. I think he's just enjoying it right now, but it'll go down to the wire for him.
Yeah, you mentioned Luafatasaga. I mean, you mentioned Gary, but I'll talk about Luafatasaga a little bit. David Luafatasaga takes an official visit to Utah over the weekend. And now, one of the things they did out there was ride snowmobiles, you know. So lots of cool stuff to do when you go to these strange lands to take these official visits. And Luafatasaga is still set to official to Ole Miss on the weekend of January 29th. He is still maintaining his commitment to Ole Miss. But I got to tell you, I think Utah's in play for the JUCO linebacker at Arizona Western right now. As a matter of fact, there are reports out there that they are in play for him now. As he said, he could very well see himself signing with Utah. And the thing to keep in the back of your mind with David Luafatasaga, he's never been to Oxford, Mississippi. And he's coming on that last weekend. He's still scheduled to. But, you know, this is the time of the year you start worrying a little bit about, you know, who you have in your class and who may not still be in that class come signing day. I can tell you this, of the 20 commits that they have, they are comfortable with all of them as far as where Ole Miss stands with them. Now, will there be some defections? I think there are two primary candidates. I think one is the guy we just talked about, David Luafatasaga, and I think the other one, obviously, is running back Devon Penamon. You know, I've reported over the weekend that if Penamon were to flip, and I'm not saying he is. He's still coming in on the weekend of January 29th as well, although he spent this past weekend at Texas A&M, and my sources on the ground at A&M say the Aggie coaching staff feel very, very good that they can convince the Texan to stay home, play inside the SEC, but I'm not putting words into Vaughn Penamon's mouth. He has not said that. He left College Station on Sunday still an Ole Miss Rebel, and that's where it stands at this point. Luafatasaga, we just talked about, but I think those are the two that you're kind of keeping your eye on. Luafatasaga is more important to this class, and I, you know, they're all important, but the position he plays is more important in this class than the running back position in which Penamon plays. I have on the highest authority Ole Miss will not even pursue another running back for the 2016 class if Devon Penamon were to decommit. So that's gospel right there. You can take that to the bank. They want to hold on to Penamon, but if he decides to leave and go elsewhere, they'll use that running back spot for another position, and most likely a linebacker, as I think they would like to take in two linebackers with the remaining spots in this class. Add two more in addition to the ones they have already. And, of course, one of them, they hope, is five-star Torrance, California linebacker Mike Juarez, who spent the weekend in Tuscaloosa, as far as we know, because that has been the biggest official visit that has been the quietest over the weekend, Dave. And you're on the ground over there in Alabama. You hearing anything about what happened in Tuscaloosa with Juarez?
You know, I haven't heard any, just gotten any response back from any kind of intel from on the ground, but, you know, just viewing, social media, he, looked, like he enjoyed his visit. He sent out an interesting, tweet. I retweeted it last night. God knows where I'm going to sign was how the tweet went. So, you know, the, vibe is that Alabama has gotten into the picture. I mean, you definitely can't count Alabama out. I mean, you're looking at national championships consistently. They're coming off an SEC championship and a national title. So, you know, for a prospect to come in there for an official visit, you can't ever count Alabama out. So, you know, he put Alabama, Ole Miss, and UCLA in the top three. I think it would, you know, probably feel at ease for Ole Miss fans if, you know, Juarez could make it back to Ole Miss, because, you know, that was the thing of seeing, you know, if his family could get out here and see Oxford. So, you know, those things will play out, you know, as over the next couple of weeks as it goes. So, you know, right now, I've, you know, crystal balled Juarez with you, David, on the same day. So I'm still remaining optimistic that he could be a Rebel from within our sources.
Well, as of right now, I think this is going to be one of the prevailing storylines, obviously, over the next couple of weeks. My confidence kind of grows and wanes with Juarez, but right now I'm feeling very good in terms of the potential that he ends up being an Ole Miss Rebel. And I mentioned perhaps last night during live chat that a little bit of information I've been able to pick up on Juarez over the weekend. Everything that I've always heard is that his dad was very comfortable if Mike decided he wanted to play at Ole Miss. But more often than not, in the same breath, I would pick that intel up. It would be followed by, but we don't know how the mom feels about it. You know, does she want to keep him closer to home? Well, one thing I found out over the weekend, and, you know, this is just kind of an interesting tidbit that you kind of factor into everything, is that the mom is not Mike's biological mother. So in that family structure right there, and the dad has told multiple sources that he's very comfortable with Mike coming to Ole Miss, you would figure that's probably the trump card right there in terms of the parental side of things. And not saying that Mike won't make his own mind up, and I think they'll probably certainly appreciate the fact that he does that, but I think you've got the parents being A-okay, because there's been a lot of talks about, well, the parents haven't been to Oxford, they haven't seen it. But I think the parents are A-okay if Mike Juarez wants to continue his football career in Oxford, Mississippi. So I don't think that's a concern. I think you can kind of remove that from the equation a little bit. Will he stay in L.A. and play at UCLA? Has Alabama gotten into it? Will he come to Oxford? Another one of the many storylines we're going to be following over the next couple of weeks. As we talked about Jeffrey Simmons, Rashawn Gary, Mike Juarez. There are two guys I feel very confident about, and we've mentioned this on the board, and that is Deontay Anderson, the four-star safety out of Texas, as well as Michael Jones, the four-star wide receiver out of Patterson, Louisiana. I feel like those are the two guys that are most likely to join this class. Now, anytime you're recruiting these high-level, high four-star, five-star recruits, it's going to be a battle to the end. And that's the thing, Michael. National Signing Day is going to be a circus if you are an Ole Miss fan, because you're likely going to have Rashawn Gary announcing that day, Mike Juarez announcing that day, Jeffrey Simmons announcing that day. And then guys that you hope you're in on, but you may not be, A.J. Brown signing that day. Kobe Jones is probably going to announce that day. So you're probably going to have a dozen or so National Signing Day announcements that are going to directly or indirectly affect Ole Miss's signing class. And, Michael, it's just going to be a drama-filled day.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be one to watch. Luckily, this is something that that we'll be watching. You, Dave, and I will be watching regardless. But if you can take off of work, if you can take off class, I'm not encouraging you to do so. But I'm not not encouraging you to do so either. It's going to be a fun day. Get some wings, get some pizza, camp out with your laptop, your iPad, the TV, all of it gone, because it's going to be a hectic day, and it could be, you know, a banner day for Ole Miss. It could be a really, really big day, but it's certainly going to be exciting, and there's so many moving parts going forward that, and you always see new names emerge around this time, whether that's a bigger guy in the picture as far as stars go, or whether that's, you know, someone like a Sean Curtis, who came up real late last year, never even visited campus in person. And now it looks like he very well could have a very nice career at Ole Miss from some of the things that you're hearing around the program. But it's going to be a really, really interesting day. It's going to be pretty packed. And like you said, bring the Red Bull. Get a case of Red Bull while you're at it, because it's going to be a big one.
We're going to bring you and walk you all the way up until that day right here on Rebels 247. Okay. Turning our attention to basketball real quick, and I don't guess anybody really thought the Ole Miss basketball team was going to forever be undefeated, unbeaten inside the pavilion. But that all changed Saturday night with Michael White and the Florida Gators coming to town and putting the first L on the pavilion as far as men's basketball goes. But not all is doom and gloom for the Ole Miss men's basketball program this morning. Got a report in that 2017 forward Tyrus Smith out of Petal, Mississippi. Guess what? He's committed to Ole Miss this morning. So the pavilion already paying off some pretty good dividends right now. Smith is 6'8", 220-pounder, averaging a double-double down at Petal High School. So, Michael, talk to us about what you saw out of Ole Miss on Saturday night against Florida, where they're at this point, but as well as Tyrus Smith. I mean, you know, second commitment in 2 weeks now. And, you know, is the pavilion making a difference for Ole Miss in basketball recruiting?
Yeah, you're seeing it's something that Andy Kennedy said at the first night of the pavilion. He said it's a completely different vibe. And when he was walking up to the pavilion, he saw students running to the game rather than away from the game. And I think you're going to see sort of the same thing with recruits. There's going to be a lot of guys that want to jump on board. You're going to see a lot of guys that want to get on the ship for Ole Miss basketball. And so it's not really a surprise to see two quick commits like they're happening. You're going to see a lot of official visitors. You're going to see a lot of guys sort of, you know, having interest in the Ole Miss basketball program that wouldn't if Ole Miss was still playing in the Tad Pad, which sort of, you know, by the lighting and just the age of the building was sort of like an old, decrepit Kmart. But now that you have the pavilion, it's an absolute game changer for Ole Miss. And like you said, Ole Miss wasn't going to stay undefeated forever inside the pavilion. And unfortunately, it had to be via the prodigal son, Michael White, to come back and beat Ole Miss. But the team really battled back, and you've seen that this year. They've gotten knocked down, but they fought back. There's not a lot of depth with this team. Kennedy probably only likes to go 8 or 9 deep or so each night. And once he gets to the second half, he said he wants to stick with his veterans throughout the second half. Which is why it's been a little surprising to see Fitzpatrick Dorsey getting some second half minutes lately, but that's got to be a good sign that Andy Kennedy's having some more faith in a guy like Fitzpatrick Dorsey who could be big for him down the stretch. But you look at the three conference losses of LSU, Florida, and Kentucky. Those are not exactly, and they're at Kentucky and at LSU to boot. And those aren't exactly do-or-die losses. Those aren't bad losses by any means. Those are quality basketball programs. And there's a chance for a really big win tomorrow night with South Carolina. And what Ole Miss really needs to find to do is something I feel like I'm in an echo chamber of myself here, is they have to find another consistent scorer, whether it's Biello getting his confidence back and knocking down some more shots, or if it's Rasheed Brooks scoring at a consistent basis. They need someone else. When Moody comes off the floor, it can't be stagnant. They need someone who's going to make plays, who's going to make shots. And if they can find that, they'd be a lot better off. If not, Moody's going to need a hefty chiropractor bill after the year, because, I mean, he's been carrying this team the whole time, and he's going to need that second fiddle for him pretty soon.
Yeah, can this team, to me it plays out as what we've become accustomed to at Ole Miss when it comes to basketball. This is going to be a team that's going to enter the SEC tournament probably needing a win or two to punch its ticket to the NCAA tournament, which is generally how Ole Miss basketball seasons play out. Michael, do you see it any other way this year?
No, that's unless Stephen Moody or Sebastian Saiz, God forbid, go down for a considerable amount of time, in which case I may have to found my own basketball tournament for us to get a bid to. But for now, I see Ole Miss, like you said, going to Nashville, needing to win maybe two to put themselves in good position, because there will be, I would expect to see sort of somewhere in the 11-7 to 8-8 range for the conference. Maybe if they get hot, 12-6. But they're going to need. They didn't have a particularly strong non-conference schedule, so they're going to need some wins, and they're going to need some late wins. And if they can win two games in the SEC tournament, my money's on that they will get in. But like you said, this is probably going to be another bubble team, which really speaks volumes of Kennedy, because this team is this may be his best coaching job that he's done. It's not a very deep team. There were a lot of moving parts before the season, a lot of guys to get acclimated really quickly. And so,
it's going to be a stressful one. It seems like every year that's one of the storylines as well, is that Kennedy's done one of his best coaching jobs for this particular team. And maybe that storyline goes to the wayside if, with the new arena, the pavilion, the recruiting picks up, which it certainly looks like it is picking up. I mean, Tyra Smith, one of the top hoopers in the entire state of Mississippi. And, I know there's a lot of momentum down there in Starkville with Ben Howland and what they think he's ultimately going to be able to do down there. He's already proven that he is a top-notch recruiter, but here's AK surging up into the game right now. But, man, it seems like, the men's basketball's gotten more commitments than the football team the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, what I think that we'll see, by the way that Kenny runs his offense, that there's always going to be a guy who can get a high volume of shots, especially from deep, like a Chris Warren or an Abernathy or a Sanders, of course, Marshall Henderson, Moody, and we have the Miami transfer coming in or who's redshirting this year for next year, that there's always a spot for a scorer to get a lot of shots, to score a lot of points, and make a lot of plays. And now that there's the pavilion, and it's going to pique the interest of a lot of recruiters who, when they walk in there, they say, wow, and I want to go play in a place like this. And I fully expect in 2017 or 2018 that there will be a premier scorer, a guy that you haven't seen Ole Miss sign out of high school, who will want to go to Ole Miss and want to be in that sort of program. Because when you're an elite shooter at the high school level, you're getting all these shots. And typically, if you want to go to a Kentucky or a Florida or a Duke, North Carolina, then you're not going to be going in there right away and being able to take 15 shots a game. But if you want to go to Ole Miss and the way our system's set up, to get the scoring guard a lot of open shots and a lot of opportunities to make plays, then I think that's really going to draw in. That's going to draw in a lot of high volume scorers to Ole Miss. I think that we'll see a marquee guy come to Ole Miss in the next couple of years.
one of the hottest teams in the nation. South Carolina awaits Ole Miss, and Michael is exactly right. That would be a huge win, not only in the conference standings, but in the RPI factor as well, if Ole Miss can somehow figure out how to cool the Gamecocks down, who have just gotten off to a torrid start to this college basketball season. Okay, turning back to football, Ole Miss with 8 mid-year signees coming in, beginning this week, orientation set for Thursday night or Thursday during the day, if I'm correct on that. First day of classes, January the 25th. For these 8 that are coming in mid-year, you know who they are. And then, you know, you get those guys in for spring practice. You see how and who Mike can help you going into the 2016 season. We get asked that a lot. Hey, which one of these freshmen do you think will make the biggest impact? Guys, we don't know. I mean, we can sit here and tell you we think it's this guy or this guy, but you don't know until you get out there on the field, until they put the pads on. Every year you hear about someone who is going to just come in and be able to help right off the bat. They end up needing a little more time. And then some guy that you've never talked about in the class ends up being the guy who helps the most. And, I mean, you can track it back every single year, things like that happen. So it'll be interesting. Spring practice right around the corner, right after National Signing Day. The Rebels will start at the tail end of February. And a lot of storylines that will be played out there. You know, all eyes, once again, will be on the quarterback situation. Not that it's not settled, but everybody's going to want to get some views of Shea Patterson and the talents that he is bringing into this program. Of course, there's no spring game this year, but I did have a chance to talk to Coach Freeze about that Friday night and what they're planning is right now. And then this is certainly nothing definitive, but I asked you about it, and his response was, man, we'll have some kind of scrimmage where people can come out and watch them. So that's probably in the works. And then I said, wow, Coach, it's going to be tough to fit 25,000 people around the practice field. He kind of paused there for a second. So we'll see what comes of that. But I'm sure there will be a public viewing opportunity for the Ole Miss Rebel football team this spring. Well, it's time now for closing thoughts, Dave. We'll roll it over to you. Your closing thoughts on anything you want it to be, other than politics, man. I saw somebody started a thing on the board on politics, which. Always makes me cringe because those things never end well. But, Dave, your closing thoughts today.
Well, I'll start with my closing thoughts on the main topic of why we're here. You know, everybody listening and everybody reading on the board, buckle your seatbelt because it's only going to be a wild ride from now until National Signing Day. And, you know, this is that time where you're just going to constantly be refreshing your phone, social media pages, the board, the message board to find out the latest updates on the prospects. And like we've mentioned, you know, there's a lot of excitement surrounding this 2016 class. At this point, by the numbers, it has already surpassed the 2013 class, could potentially just continue to grow. And if everything were to fall right into place for Ole Miss heading in on that final day of National Signing Day, I mean, this could be a top five, maybe even the number one rated class in the country. Getting into, you know, family, it is getting just about any week now, David, that we will have our son. My wife and I, she measured 38 weeks at the doctor's office last week. So it's inside the Bevin household. It is also getting intense as well.
Now I have had babies. Well, I haven't, but my wife has. And I have fathered babies and been through this process. Now, I'm going 9 times 4 is 36, and you're saying 38. What is it actually, though? It's not 36 weeks. How long is the gestational period
Well, the right now in her
period. I shouldn't have asked Dave that on the podcast. He's not a doctor, but anyway, I mean, I know. So it sounds like to me you're very, very close.
Very close. Very close.
Awesome. Awesome. And I just went through it, too, some 20 months ago. And I know what Dave is going through. It's that time of the process, as we talk like recruiting people would, every time there's a burp or a belch or something, you know, it's like, oh, my God, is it time? Should we go? And so, Dave, I'm with you on that, man. You're in our prayers, as is your lovely wife. And
really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, and we're excited about welcoming in I'm assuming here, a new Ole Miss Rebel into this world.
Oh, yeah, we've already had that discussion. My wife's actually an Alabama fan, but I've already told her one way or another this son's going to be red and blue. And, you know, once that day finally comes, listeners, readers, definitely do not mind. I've shared the sonars on the board. I will be glad to share pictures of. Know a lot of people out there love cute little babies when they come into the world. So I'll share that as that day comes on the board.
Now you have told me the probable name for this young man when he enters the world, but I'll take some stabs at some possibilities here, if I may. Chad Kelly Bevan. I like that one. I think that's really good. You could call it CK. I think that is a really good one. Shea Bevan. I think that's probably should be on your list there. Shea Patterson Bevan. I'm just joking with Dave. I always catch a lot of good-natured flack about my son's name, Eli. And, you know, he was born in 1998 when Eli Manning was we knew about him by then. We knew he was on the way to Ole Miss. And everybody always accuses me of naming him after Eli Manning, when, in fact, his great-grandfather on his mother's side, his name was Elijah. So that's where our Eli comes from. It has nothing to do with Ole Miss. It just kind of worked out that way. Glad it did. I think it's kind of cool, but anyway, I know Dave Bevan and his wife will give their new baby a very proud name, and it can't be prouder for you all, Dave. And again, you are in our prayers, as I know it's an exciting time of the year for the Bevan family. Michael, your closing thoughts. You're the only single man on this podcast here. Tell us about your weekend. I know you were in the ATL. Did you have a good weekend there?
Yeah, I had a wedding for one of my good buddies, and he's down in the Bahamas now, so he won't be hearing any of this. He's out of the 20 degree weather. It's good to hear the first 2034 recruiting news is young baby Bevan. I can't wait for the I don't know how many months you're going to wait before he commits to Ole Miss, if he's going to get a couple onesies out, lay them out in front of him, do the old Bobby Massey onesie fake, throw the Alabama one over his head. But I'm
yeah.
excited to see that one. I just want to take my closing time to talk a little bit about Donald Trump, religion, the state flag, and the Rebel Black Bear Colonel Reb mascot controversy, if that's okay.
Oh, Lord.
If I could divulge into all those topics.
You know, I'm just going to say Michael's taking a jab at me here from a comment I made a few moments ago about the political threat being on the board. And honestly, guys, I really don't care what y'all discuss. I'm not getting into it on the board. I can't win or lose talking about politics. But Donald Trump, love the hair. That's as far as I'm going with that. You want to talk about, you know, we all love to watch games, right? I mean, you know, everything is a competition, and the way things are looking right now, a Trump-Hillary Clinton showdown for the presidency of the United States, because honestly, I watch these debates And I watched the Democratic debate, parts of it last night as live chat was going on. I don't know what anybody else is doing on the stage right now other than Clinton and Trump. I mean, is there? I guess there's the possibility that Donald Trump could do something or say something between now and then that would probably derail him. But I don't know what else it could be at this point. He's offended almost every group in America at some point in his campaign. And he's still going strong. And then the two other guys, the two guys running against Clinton on the Democratic side of it, I mean, Bernie Sanders is the great uncle that you see twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, that you go, oh, God, here comes Uncle Bernie. You know, I mean, that's how it comes across to me. And then O'Malley, I heard a commentator point this out last night, not during the debate, but in the post-debate coverage. Reminds you of the guy cruising down Route 66 in his red convertible on a Viagra commercial. You know, I mean, it's just kind of comic that, you know, with what's going on with politics in America. But it's a very serious time in our country's existence, and my confidence is in the American people to do the right thing and make the right choice as we inch forward. And I guess that's my closing thought today. We live in the greatest country in the world. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but neither are any of us. And together we can make it better, stronger, and you just wish there was a little more dialogue, a little more constructive dialogue coming from both sides of the aisle in Washington, D.C. So how we got on politics, I do not know. But,
that was on me. That started with Michael.
I should have never mentioned the thread on the board. But in any way, look, if Hugh Freeze was running against Dan Mullen, we could just fully endorse Hugh Freeze. But that's not how it is, and everybody is entitled to their own set of views in this nation, and we should all respect that. That's much we do know. So the big news today, Tyrus Smith out of Petal, Mississippi, class of 2017, hoop star, is now an Ole Miss Rebel. So congratulations to Andy Kennedy on that. And, you know, don't turn that channel on your internet today, popping all day long, keeping you up with the latest developments on recruiting. The Ole Miss coaches are out on the trail. We'll let you know where they are. Until next time, for Dave Bevan, soon to be a father again, Michael Quirk, maybe the smartest of all of us, he's still single, I'm David Johnson for Rebels 247, and as always, hottie totty.